this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. Once again, I'm running late to work. It's weird because every time I say that, I usually get there at exactly 7 o'clock. But that's not happening today. I'm way later than usual. However, I'm kind of pissed. Yesterday, I was on Facebook and I saw a story that I will admit I have not researched completely, but it comes from a reliable source that's not prone to ignorant hyperbole in their headlines. I should say inaccuracy in their headlines. Usually, IGN is pretty good. And they say that Nickelodeon has pulled The Legend of Korra from the schedule and is now going to what they call digital distribution, but what everybody else calls going to Netflix. Or who knows, it might be Hulu Plus. Maybe even Amazon Prime. Or that new one that I can never remember. But there's another new player in the game that's supposed to be coming up pretty soon. That disappoints me for so many reasons. Now, if you don't know what Legend of Korra is, you might at least know what Avatar The Last Airbender is. Avatar The Last Airbender, in case you don't know, was a cartoon from Nickelodeon that dealt with a character called the Avatar, who in a world where you had people who could bend fire and water and earth, he was the only one left who could bend air. He had somehow been frozen for 200 years. And I don't think they've ever really given details on that, but I don't recall. But the whole story for 3 seasons of, I think, 30 episodes each was him. The first season was water, where he learned how to water bend. And he got involved with the water tribes, the Southern Water Tribe, I think, and the Northern Water Tribe, and all. He just got involved with a lot of intrigue. Then the second season, I believe, was Earth, where he tried to find an earthbender master to teach him things. And that's when they introduced a character named Toph, who was one of my favorites. And that's when you also realized that, you know, you kind of knew it from the beginning, but the Fire Nation was going to be his big enemy. And it wasn't just, you know, the bosses, but there was a prince who was chasing him, and their Fire Lord was in charge of everything. I mean, and so it just led to the third and final season called Fire, where he had to find a firebender master to teach him. And then he faced the Fire Lord in a battle for everything, you know, because the Fire Nation was pretty much going to take over the entire world if Aang didn't stop them. Now, there was a horrible movie called The Last Airbender that was made from the first season. Now, remember, I said that there were 30, 30 episodes each, so that's like 15 hours that was distilled into two. Didn't work. A lot of people blame M. Night Shyamalan. He may have been very heavy-handed in spots, but the fact that, like I said, he was trying to go from 15 hours to two just didn't work. And unfortunately, that means there won't be any other the Airbender movies, last Airbender movies. Also didn't help that they whitewashed most of the characters, except for the bad guys and Aang. You know, everybody else who was supposed to be Asian wasn't. So, which was everybody on the show. Anyway, after it ended, they announced a sequel of sorts. This is going to be of the next Avatar. A teenage girl named Korra. That's why it's called The Legend of Korra. And right from the beginning, there are problems. This is 75 years after the events of Avatar, The Last Airbender. And almost immediately, you could tell that Nickelodeon wasn't feeling it. Because instead of 30 episodes where you could actually learn more about the post-Aang world that they had created, where you could see how there have been how society has basically changed, you could see, you know, basically what happened to the family. You can learn more about Korra and her place in this world as, you know, the new Avatar, somebody who's just learning. You know, her learning is different from Aang's learning. Aang had no teachers. Korra has teachers, you know. Nobody's trying to kill Korra at every turn. But there were different changes, because one of the big things they changed from Last Airbender to Legend of Korra is the fact that they actually showed the people who weren't benders how they felt about being ruled by these people with superpowers, and that was really interesting. They also introduced a different type of bending. I'm not going to go into any kind of detail on that, because that's something that you really have to see. You know, if you really get a chance, watch the Legend of Korra. It's a really good show. But like I said, they went from 30 episodes down to 13. So a lot of the expansive storytelling from The Last Airbender, they were unable to do. So the story felt really, really rushed. Okay. And then in the second season, it was pretty much the same thing. You know, the Legend of Korra, as far as I know, did pretty good ratings numbers. It brought in a pretty good crowd. It had a nice buzz. But it was still 13 episodes. Second season was still 13 episodes. However, the creators were able to tailor their storytelling so that things didn't seem quite so rushed and compressed. I thought that from a storytelling standpoint, season two was a lot more like Avatar, The Last Airbender. But there was a big, at the end of season two, there was this big happening, you know, that should have changed the world. And in season three, they said that they were going to explore what happened. And then something happened. Then apparently the first six episodes of season three were leaked online. So Nickelodeon, who had said, you know, when the leak happened, they said, well, what we were gonna do is really push Korra at this year's Comic-Con in San Diego. We were really going to make this a, you know, we're going to give a featured spot on the schedule. We were going to push it on all the other shows. We're just going to give it a really big, huge push. But since it leaked, we're just going to push out the episodes as quick as possible. So in summertime, with no buildup, they put Korra on Friday nights. Now, Korra was on Friday nights before, so that was no real, like, really big deal. It went from Saturday mornings to Friday night. I guess because they knew that a lot of old folks like me were watching it. But that's what they did. They dumped it on Friday night. And when I say they dumped it, I mean they dumped it. There was no buildup. My son, who watches Nickelodeon channels on a regular basis, he didn't even know it was coming out. Okay, and the only reason I found out is because I was online. And I hadn't seen any episodes because, you know, there's like Doctor Who, the new Doctor Who, the Capaldi Doctor. Like, I think at least the first episode has leaked, and I know where to find it. I know how easy it is to get, and I don't want to see it. I don't mind looking at leaked pilots, you know, especially for shows that will probably fail, or, you know, like, Global Frequency. Shows that didn't get made, you know, I want to see what they were talking about, and it looked like it was going to be a pretty decent show, but it wouldn't have been a great show. Now I think if they made Global Frequency, they'd be able to do it a lot better, and it would seem a lot less outlandish, you know, because when Global Frequency came out, a lot of the stuff like worldwide communications at all time, that really wasn't something that you could say, oh yeah, I could see that happening. Now it's like, what are you talking about? Everybody's got a cell phone. So I don't mind leaks for the most part, but when it's a show that I know I'm going to watch, nah, I can't say that. I can't say that because I'm going to watch Constantine and The Flash, and I've seen both of those pilots. But let's just say if it's not a first season, all right, let's just qualify like that. If it's a show that I'm in the habit of watching, I don't want to see leaks. I'll just wait for it to come on TV. And so that just tells me that this just proves to me, I should say, that Nickelodeon has never really wanted Korra. They could deal with Avatar, but if you notice one thing about Avatar: The Last Airbender, throughout the whole series, I should say, Katara, who was the young girl who found him, her and her brother Sokka, Aang, I should say, she was a capable character, but in the last season, she was still capable, but they turned her more into a shrew. And that's one thing that kids shows love to do. They love to take female characters and to mitigate them somehow. You know, they start off as pretty good, capable characters, and after a while they become shrewish, or they just become stereotypical. You know, stereotypical giggly teenage girls. Oh, look at him. And I'm thinking of Tower Prep. Tower Prep, which was Cartoon Network's, one of their live action shows. They had two boys and two girls as their main cast. And the girls were just as capable as the boys. They had just as much screen time. They were just as interesting. But according to Paul Dini, the showrunner, the network said, look, you're spending way too much time on the girls. You know, do something about that. And so the girls, and you know, and he was telling a pretty good, you know, he had pretty good backstory for the girls, but the network didn't want anything to do with that. Just said, you know, the girls should be secondary to the boys. You know, and even though one of the boys was definitely a beta, there's the alpha male, there's the beta male. They had him pretty much having his personality dominate the girls, and it just seemed wrong, you know. It just seemed not wrong, but just off. Yeah, and so they ruined that show. And we all know that they canceled Young Justice because too many girls were watching it. You know, that was like, I heard that, it was like, yeah, because girls don't buy action figures. You know, I mean, well, like Kevin Smith said, well, then give them something else. Then don't sell them action figures, sell girls something else then. You know, there's Avengers, The Mightiest, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. That was a great show. I love that show. And to me, one of the breakout characters was Wasp. You know, I mean, this was, I believe, one of the first times she had actually been in cartoon, you know, had been animated. And I liked Wasp. Like I said, breakout character. Probably my favorite character of the show. And guess what happens? They decide to retool the show and have it as Avengers Assemble. And first thing I notice is, whoa, wait a minute, they got rid of Wasp and replaced her with Black Widow, which makes sense from a mainstream point of view, because Black Widow was in the movie and Wasp wasn't, so more people know who Black Widow is. You know what, though? They actually did the same thing. They got rid of Black Panther and replaced him with Falcon, which really pissed me off, because this was before Winter Soldier, okay? So it's not like Falcon was more popular than Black Panther at all. You know, there's no group out there called, you know, the Falcons. It was, you know, there's one group out there called the Black Panthers. People know who the Black Panthers are, who Black Panther is. But they replaced him. They took one of the most capable superheroes in the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, their version of Batman, pretty much, and replaced him with a sidekick. And even though Falcon is now becoming Captain America, this is not the same Falcon. This is not the same character. This is a totally different character. And you know what? I'm at work, and I was going to try to force this and upload it from my phone, but I'm not done talking. So take a break. I'll be back later. Hello. All right. I'm back. In fact, I even took notes. It's going to be kind of difficult to do because I'm driving, recording, and taking and reading my notes. Oof. This may be deadly. In fact, if you listen very carefully in the first part of the show, you may be able to tell when I almost got into a car accident. It's possible. It's possible. We'll have to find out. Anyway, where did I leave off? Black Panther and Falcon. There's also another problem. In addition to the Kid Show Network, I don't even want to say cartoon, but the Kid Show Networks. Not only do they not know how to sell things to girls, and that's why they cancel certain shows, but they are also under the belief that boys won't watch a show because girls watch it. They think that if a girl is watching a show and a boy enters into the room, he'll immediately say, oh, no, I'm not going to watch that because girls are watching it, you know? I think that's foolishness. I mentioned that to Steven, and he was like, well, if I like a show, why would I stop watching it because a girl's watching it? You know? He couldn't, and he's their target demographic, I believe. He'll be 11. He'll be 11 in a couple of weeks. So he's who they should be shooting for. But apparently they think very little of him. And I guess boys who think like him, who don't care if girls like the same thing they like. Personally, I think that maybe they shouldn't cancel these shows just because girls watch them and they think little boys won't. Maybe, just maybe, little boys will just have to get over themselves and realize that the world does not have to revolve around them. You know? That's just ridiculous. Just ridiculously stupid. It makes me wonder if it's not the the adults who have a problem with women of any age, because they're the ones who they don't know how to relate to women, so they're just like, yeah, let's just blame it on the kids. Let's say the boys won't know how to deal with little girls, and that's why, you know, if we don't know, we don't really know how to deal with women as people, so we're just going to teach these boys how to not deal with girls as people. Because, quite frankly, they don't really see boys or girls as people, but rather commodities. You know, I mean, I've mentioned this before, that the true product of television networks of all ilk is not the television shows themselves, but rather the eyeballs that they can bring to those shows. The eyeballs that that they can then turn around and get money from their advertisers for. You know, the advertisers are like, okay, well, how many people can you bring to us? So, in actuality, we are the ones who are the real product. You know? So, I don't know. It seems kind of short-sighted then to say we're going to cancel these shows for this network because we don't want this particular group to watch. You know, because I don't know. Maybe they should think about getting better advertisers. And I realize I'm just talking shit now, but think about it. If you can give them, because I have some notes on Cora, but if you can give them a million eyeballs, but they don't want to say 45% of those eyeballs because those 45% belong to girls. You know, there are breasts that, well, budding breasts that are connected to those eyeballs. Maybe you should look for somebody who says, you know what, I want a million eyeballs, and I don't care what kind of breasts are on them. You know? Yeah, that's just me. Maybe I just think, I don't know, not nonsensical, you know? Because it just makes no sense to me. It really doesn't, you know? And I've seen this before, you know? I'm a professional wrestling fan, and there's one company now that really matters. There are more. There's more than one company. There's more than one company with a national television deal. There's really only one company that matters, and that's WWE. And quite frankly, WWE has this bad habit of, and for those of you who are like longtime Sci-Fi Channel fans, it probably is like, oh no, we got professional wrestling talk here. They canceled whatever they canceled at the time to put on wrestling, and now we got to hear it here. Well, there's a reason. Anyway, WWE has this bad habit of taking characters, wrestlers, and for whatever reason, whatever goes on behind the scenes, this wrestler has pissed somebody off, you know, and he no longer has somebody going to bat for him. So the people who actually put together matches and storylines, you know, the creative team, they will actually at times go out of their way to sabotage these people, okay? You know, they will do really stupid stuff. Like, I'll tell you right now, there's one storyline that has never gotten anybody popular, and that is the losing streak storyline. Okay, and if it has, somebody tell me, because I've never heard of it happening. All I know is that usually when somebody has a losing streak, nobody cares to see their losing streak snapped. Okay, it's just like, oh, okay, finally won. Big deal. You know, he got his ass kicked for months, if not years. You know, it's never worked. But they have actually tried it again and again with a bunch of different people, and it never works. And it's almost like they're surprised each and every time. They will have matches, tell stories where the whole thing is just, that just makes somebody look stupid. There's this guy named Zack Ryder who wasn't getting on TV, but he had his own video. I think he probably had a flip phone, not a flip phone, but a flip video camera. You know, so he would film himself and his friends and just do goofy vignettes and post them on his YouTube channel. And he got popular. He got so popular that there were people in the audience who'd watch his internet channel and would go and cheer. You know, we want Ryder. We want Ryder. So loud and so often that finally WWE put him on TV. They gave him a storyline. And the storyline they gave him made him look like a doofus. He couldn't win without help. He had a crush on a girl, and she ended up leaving him for John Cena. Or something stupid like that. And they just made him look like a little bitch. And when that happened, people stopped caring about him as much. And I was like, oh, okay. Why were we chanting for this guy again? And some people were actually surprised. Like, wow, looks like he wasn't as popular as they thought. But no, they knew what they were doing. They were sabotaging, because they aren't the ones who created this monster, you know, this really popular guy. So because they didn't make it, they were going to destroy it. And then later, when they are going to try to make him relevant again, nobody's going to care. And they've done that time and time again. They've made it so that somebody isn't relevant, and then they're surprised when they can't make him popular. Okay? And that's what I'm seeing a lot here. Cartoon Network has sabotaged Korra almost from the beginning, you know, and now they're acting surprised. Oh, we have low ratings. Why is that? You know, there's some of the notes I have on this IGN thing. The IGN story, I finally got a chance to read it at work, and the IGN story mentions, quote, a half season of low ratings, but it doesn't mention the fact that the premiere was rushed on a Saturday with very little advance notice for people who would want to watch it. And they don't mention that at all. And I'm pretty sure they don't mention that because they don't want to piss off Nickelodeon because, you know, let's face it, IGN is a big name. They are a big internet media entity. They're not going to piss off other media entities. Nobody does that, you know, unless they're small enough to really not give a shit. Like, yours truly, right? And it also says, my notes that it is. Yeah. See, what they usually do is they show, since the show's come back, they have aired two episodes back to back, okay? That's how, even though Cora only came back like about a month ago, they're already halfway through the season, even though technically it's only been like almost 4 weeks now. Well, tonight, as of this recording, which will probably be, unless the second I download, the second I upload this, you download it, then it'll be too late. But they're only going to show one episode tonight. I don't even know if they're going to show after that. But they're going to show one episode tonight, and they're going to yank the two episodes from next week and the ones after that. So there's five more episodes. That they just aren't going to show right now. So, also, according to my notes, yeah. The article did point out, and everybody's been saying this, you know, everybody who really cares to comment on this has been saying the same things. Like, Nickelodeon has not canceled the show because they've ordered season 4. You know, that really matters. Okay, there have been a bunch of shows that have had episodes ordered that they just haven't shown. I think that a lot of, if not a lot, then a few, maybe three or four episodes of Firefly were never originally aired, even though they had been ordered and bought. You know, and then I have down here, although something that later changed, it says, I have down here, unless Nick tries their own digital network, a la the WWE network, I can see Cora being burned off during a marathon on a slow weekend, you know? Like maybe that first weekend after kids go back to school and nobody's really watching TV, they'll say, hey, you know what, we're going to do a Legend of Cora marathon, show all new episodes, never seen before episodes. That's what I think. Are they just going to burn them off? Say, hey, here you go. Yeah, just like one Saturday night. You know, here's a Cora marathon. Not even, but on Toon Nick. Or Nicktoons, whichever one is Steven watches in the middle of the night. But then I found a different article that's actually linked in the IGN that actually has a lot more detail, you know? It's from a site called nickandmore.com. And it's funny because I know a guy named Nick Moore. Anyway, nickandmore.com is reporting that the remaining episodes will roll out weekly on nick.com and on the Nick app beginning August 1st, as well as on Amazon, Google Play, Xbox, and Hulu. So, you know, the usual suspects with the exception of Netflix, you know. So that's what they're not going to burn them out. What they're going to do is just going to roll them out. However, I also read like a couple of other sites that were linked, and everybody says, well, you know, Nick has ordered season 4, but nobody says if they're going to be aired and if they're going to be posted to the website or not. You know, and all I say is, you know, I really hope that they don't end this season on a cliffhanger because, that's not going to be cool. Because if they come back for season 4, I'd be surprised. And I don't understand one thing. Why is it in this day and age that they are rolling them out every week, you know? Unless, I don't know, I haven't ever been to nick.com and I haven't ever watched their app. But do they have ads on there? Because I can sort of understand why Hulu would do the same, would roll out Sailor Moon 2 episodes a week. That at least makes sense, because, you know, why not get people to come back to look at the fresh new ads, you know? But if they don't have it, it really makes no sense to me. I mean, I think in this world of Netflix, I think that everybody knows that if there's a show you like, you want to binge watch. You want to watch as much of it as you can. And if they're not going to do anything with these particular episodes, why not just throw them, just post them all at once, you know, and just don't have an autoplay. You're still going to get the same amount of page views. So I don't know. That makes no sense to me. I think that somebody is stuck in the past when it comes to a digital distribution. Wow. Wait. Wow. That's weird. I just saw this couple on the right side of the road who were walking. A black guy pushing a stroller and a tall, skinny white girl next to him. And they're walking towards me. And then, like, a little bit later, I see the exact same combination walking in the opposite direction. And it's like, whoa, is there a glitch in the Matrix that I just didn't know about? I thought that was, it's kind of cute, because, you know, you've got two families walking together, but it's just weird, because they look it's the Matrix. The fuck am I talking? I'm not even gonna go. Anyway, they're supposed to have more details on the Legend of Korra panel at Comic-Con this weekend. And it's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than Nick was going to give it credit for. Because if you recall, their original con plans were probably going to be to announce the, you know, when the new season was going to start and give it a big, big advertising and marketing push at Comic-Con and then go from there. But then, you know, the leak happened, so they probably scrambled to just have a, a question and answer, you know, Q&A, I don't know, you already have the season started, so it probably would give you a different set of, questions and that we're going to be asked, and a different set of answers that could be given when the show is currently going, you know, especially if they have it like on a Friday night. I'm not even sure when the panel is. If they have it on a Friday night, a few hours before it airs, the latest episode airs, that could have been interesting. Or if they have it tomorrow, the day after it airs, once again, you're going to get a whole new set of questions. And they'll be able to answer things instead of answering like, well, this upcoming season, you know, we can't go into too much detail, but, you know, it would have been interesting. But now you make this announcement, 3 days before Comic-Con starts? So that's what... So, Korra related, that's what's on everybody's mind. They took those creators and just flung them so far and hard underneath the bus. It's not even funny. I'm going to pause this real quick. I'm going to go in the house because I'm home now. And I am going to see what is airing tonight in place of the second Korra episode. Okay, it turns out that they're going to show an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. So there you go. SpongeBob SquarePants. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode.